Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Part 5. Mercedes was busy serving one table in the restaurant, but all the other tables were calling out for her. She turned her head back and forth, trying to see if any of the other waitresses were in sight so they could handle the tables, but she was all alone. Had the restaurant been this full all the time? Hadn't she just seated one couple? She noticed that one of the tables had some of the demons from the Convergence Club sitting around a bowl of tacos. At another table, she could see Feline and Andrew taking selfies with Feline's cell phone. And in the corner, the biggest table had five leprechauns in top hats and green jackets looking at the menu while they were ringing little bells. The bells. It wasn't bells. It was the phone. Her phone was ringing. She opened her eyes in the dark, blinked a few times, and turned her head to the nightstand. The phone was ringing again and again. She leaned over and grabbed it, sliding her finger over the screen while looking at the caller ID and the clock. It was 4:40 a.m., and it was Jim calling.
"Hello," she said, sounding dazed.
"Jim? What's going on?"
Next to her, Charlie grunted something and turned over, pulling the pillow over his head.
"I'm sorry to call at this hour, Mercedes," Jim's voice said. "Andrew's not in his room, and this couldn't wait."
"It's okay. What happened?"
Mercedes sat up in bed and swung her legs out so she could go in the living room and let Charlie sleep. She was wearing her normal sleepwear of a top and panties, so she wrapped a blanket around herself as she listened.
"It's Bob. He just called me. He was attacked in the bar tonight by a little girl with an Uzi. Apparently, she just walked in and started shooting. He fired back."
"Dios mío! Is he okay?"
"Yes. Well, as okay as can be expected. But someone else is... Well, I shouldn't say this over the phone. I need you to get over to the bar and meet me right now." Jim hesitated. "You might want to bring Charlie along."
"Why? Do we need a surveillance expert?"
"No, it's more like we need to stick together for safety. I think someone's after all my friends, trying to kill them. I'll tell you more when you get here. But right now, I don't know if Charlie is safe. He's a friend of yours, so that puts him in jeopardy."
"Are we going back to camping out in the office again?"
Mercedes sighed while looking out the window into the street. Everything looked peaceful out there.
"Something like that. Meet me at the Convergence Club as fast as you can."
"Okay, I'll see you there. But what about Andrew?"
"He's not in his room. Either he's out drowning his sorrows, which I sort of hope, or something happened to him. He's not answering his phone either, so I've left him a message. Please, hurry up. I don't want either of you guys hurt. I know that this is Anderson, somehow."
"Okay, we'll be right there."
Mercedes hung up and took a deep breath before going back to her bedroom and leaning over the bed.
"Cariño, wake up,"
she said, shaking his shoulder. Charlie moved the pillow away from his face and looked at her in the dark.
"What? What is it? Was it Jim?"
"Oh, you bet it was. You need to get up and get dressed. We've got to go."
"Why?"
Charlie rubbed his eyes.
"What's going on?"
"He didn't give me a lot of information," Mercedes said, as she stood up again and went to the chair to grab her jeans.
"But he told me we're in danger. Both of us."
Charlie swung his legs out of bed.
"In danger of what?"
"Of being killed by a lunatic spirit is what. Now get dressed!"
Charlie didn't need any more encouragement. He quickly reached for his shirt. It took Charlie less than half an hour to drive from Mercedes' apartment to the Convergence Club. Even though San Francisco never went completely to sleep, most of the smaller streets were deserted at this time of night, and Charlie knew his way around. Mercedes guided him to the Convergence Club, and even though it was notoriously difficult finding a spot in that area, Charlie parked only half a block away. "So, I guess I'm finally going to see this mysterious club you keep talking about," he said, as he turned the engine off. "I suppose so, but this isn't really the way I wanted you to see it. On the other hand, maybe you'll think it's pretty normal when it's closed. There are no demons or anything. Well, one, Bob." She got out of the car. "The guy who was shot, right?" Charlie opened his door and got out, but instead of joining Mercedes on the sidewalk, he went behind the car and popped the trunk. "What are you doing?" Mercedes said, craning her neck. "Getting something to make me less of a liability and more of an asset." Charlie leaned into the trunk, moved some things around, and brought a metal box out. He opened it with a key, and Mercedes raised one eyebrow. It contained a gun that looked small but powerful. "I don't usually carry weapons. I don't like them, but it's part of the job as head of security. I keep it in the car when I'm off duty."
"You mean you've had that in your trunk every time you've been in my place? That's nuts! People break into trunks all the time. Why didn't you say so? You could have just brought it upstairs. I've got a conceal and carry permit myself."
Charlie smiled, putting the gun in a holster, and stuck the holster in his belt, letting the jacket cover it. "I didn't want you to think I was some kind of gun nut."
"What are you talking about? I carry mine in my purse because it's part of the job. It's not because I like it. Why would I think you were any different?"
"I suppose I'm just having early relationship jitters." Mercedes put her arm under his and led him down the street.
"Well, don't worry. I'm sure this is going to last. Guns or no guns?"
They came to the restaurant that housed the Convergence Club, but saw no sign of Jim or his car.
"Are we the first?" Charlie said, looking around.
"Maybe he just went inside. The door's unlocked, at least."
Mercedes didn't bother with the doorbell, but opened the door.
"Hey, Jim? Bob? Anyone in here?"
There was no reply, but Mercedes stepped inside.
"Come on, I know the way."
Charlie followed her inside, through the secret door and down the stairs. The music was off, something unusual in the club, and Mercedes felt a bit like you do when you come home to an empty house.
"Bob, are you down there?"
"Yes,"
a voice replied.
"Is that you, Mercedes?"
"Yes. Well, me and Charlie, my boyfriend. Are you okay?"
"I'm okay, but I'm not taking any chances. Are you armed?"
Mercedes looked at Charlie for a split second before answering,
"Yes, we both are."
"Okay. Come down the steps, but hold your hands up and your weapons out where I can see them."
Bob's voice sounded tense. Mercedes reached into her purse and pulled the gun out. Charlie held his in his right hand, and they both raised their hands over their heads.
"Okay, Bob, we're coming down now,"
Mercedes said, and they took the last few steps down the stairs. The Convergence Club looked different to Mercedes, but not because it was empty. It was the mess. The overturned chairs, the bullet holes in the wall, and the broken table. That made it seem like it was a different place. It also had a pungent smell of liquor and vomit. Bob was crouched behind the bar, his head and torso sticking up, and he was pointing a very large gun at them.
"Okay, drop the weapons on the floor and step away from them."
Mercedes bent and put the gun on the floor before putting both her hands on her hips.
"Is this really the thanks we get for coming over here in the middle of the night to help you out?"
Bob looked embarrassed, but he didn't lower the gun until Charlie had put his weapon down as well.
Sorry, guys. It's just, I don't want to take any chances.
Are you okay? Jim said you shot some girl? What the hell happened?
Mercedes took a couple of steps forward and now saw the dead body on the floor next to one of the tables.
Oh, Dios mío,
she whispered. Bob got to his feet while Charlie knelt down next to the body.
Holy Christ on a cracker. What did you shoot her with?
This.
Bob held up the Mossberg. Charlie winced.
Where's Jim? Mercedes said. He said he'd be right over.
Bob went back to the bar and took a bottle from under the counter.
Would either of you two like something? I'm afraid all the hard liquor was smashed, but I've got beer.
Charlie shook his head, still bent over the dead girl.
No, but do you have a dishcloth or a pair of rubber gloves? I don't want to touch her, but there's something.
Bob found a dishcloth and brought it to him. Mercedes stayed a few steps back from the body, but when Charlie began unbuttoning the girl's jacket, she still cast a glance his way.
What are you doing? She asked.
I'm trying to see what she's got under the jacket. It's a... Holy shit, guys. This looks like a suicide bomber belt.
Bob recoiled, but Charlie stayed next to the body.
Don't worry. It's a manual. It's not going to blow up unless someone pulls the string.
If she was wearing a suicide belt, she came in here meaning to kill herself, Mercedes said. I guess that sort of takes part of the blame off your shoulders.
No, it doesn't,
Bob sighed.
This girl wasn't in control of herself. She was someone else's puppet.
Yes, and we all know who was pulling the strings.
Jim's voice sounded from the stairs as he came into the club. His hair was messy, a sure sign that he had been asleep when Bob called him. Mercedes had wondered if he'd gone back to staying up most of the night after Rhea had left, but she guessed this was proof that he hadn't.
It was Anderson, although in this case he might actually have outsourced the work.
Bob went to Jim and put his hand on his shoulder. For a moment, it looked like the two men were about to hug.
Thanks for coming, Jim.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Of course. Not to mention that it's my fault, in a way, that this happened. I'm the one who killed the Zodiac, and I'm the one Anderson really wants to get to.
Okay, can we recap the whole Zodiac thing? Mercedes said. Just for those of us who missed the start of the movie?
Yes, I'll tell you the whole story. But first, we've got to get the bomb defused.
Oh, I already did that.
Charlie held up a couple of wires.
I pulled these out of the belt. It can't blow up now.
Good, because we're not safe, even if it was a manual release. The spirit could possess any one of you and pull the string. Jim looked serious.
How do you know about defusing bombs, anyway?
A year ago, Coles had a series of bomb scares. I spent some time with the bomb disposal officers, and they allowed me to take some courses with a Marine. I'm no expert, but it was sort of agreed that my job made it a good thing to know a little about explosives.
You continue to amaze me, Charlie, Jim said.
Yeah, me too, Mercedes said. I can't believe you didn't mention that. But before we do anything else, we need to do something with this poor girl. I don't care if she was evil or not. She's still dead.
But what do we do?
Bob said.
Should I just call the cops and turn myself in?
I've got the feeling that doing that might cause more harm than good, Jim said. But you're right. She doesn't deserve to just lie on a floor in a bar. She's got a family somewhere.
Mercedes took a few steps toward the dead girl and made the sign of the cross before kneeling. She whispered a prayer in Spanish, the words too low to hear. Jim didn't comment, even though he thought it inappropriate to say a Christian prayer in a place made up like hell. Instead, he turned to Bob.
I'm going to call Inspector Secord of the SFPD. I'm not sure about Benari, the guy sitting in Roger's chair, at least temporarily, but Secord seems like a sensible man. I'll have him come over and look at this whole mess. We'll see if we can keep it under the radar.
Bob took a drink from his bottle. His face looked tired and had lost some of its lively red color.
I understand. But, Jim, I'm not trying to get out of anything. I still killed that girl.
In self-defense. We'll have to explain it to him.
Won't it look bad that he called all of us instead of the cops? Mercedes said.
Not really. Not if we do this right away. Let's call them now, and then I'll tell you about the Zodiac while we wait for them to get here.
Bob sat down on a chair, as far from the body as possible. He buried his face in his hands, as much as his horns allowed. It was clear some kind of delayed shock was setting in, and Jim took off his jacket, placing it over the bartender's shoulders before pulling out his cell phone.
Okay, everybody be quiet while I make the call.
It took Jim about 15 minutes to tell a short version of the story he had shared with Benari and Secord earlier, as well as his talk with Mary Louise when he came home. Charlie looked at a loss for words. Mercedes was angry, and Bob looked like he wanted to cry.
So she was possessed by a spirit. Maybe even the spirit of the real Zodiac, this Paulson. And she came here as a marionette, dancing on the strings of some puppeteer, but feeling everything?
Bob clenched his fists, and his nails made pale little dimples in his red skin.
I hurt her, and she felt everything.
Bob, I'm truly sorry, Jim said. But you couldn't have done anything else. The alternative was to stand there and let her blow you up with her suicide belt.
But did you consider, Charlie said, that maybe the suicide belt wasn't for killing Bob? They all looked at him, and he pointed to Bob.
If I was a killer who could possess someone, I would incapacitate Bob, then possess him, and call Jim and Mercedes. We'd come running just like we did. Then I'd possess the girl again and pull the bomb cord when we all arrived. Take out the whole team with one swift stroke.
I'm glad you're not working for the enemy, Jim said.
You're right. That would have worked like a charm. But why didn't that happen?
Maybe a human spirit would have a hard time possessing me, Bob said. I mean, I'm not, strictly speaking, completely human. Didn't you tell me once that you yourself suspected you couldn't be possessed?
That's a possibility, and yes, I did. Although it was something Anderson told me, and I don't know if I believe it anymore. Maybe the plan was to hold you at gunpoint and make you call. It was just the Zodiac's bad luck that you were packing heat under the bar.
There was the sound of a bell ringing, and Bob looked up.
That's the front door. Probably the police.
I'll go meet them, Jim said. Sit tight.
He went up the stairs, and a minute later came back down, followed by Inspector Secord and two policemen, all three of them wide-eyed and staring. One of the policemen made the sign of the cross at Bob, who just shrugged and sighed. Secord sat down with Bob, who went through the night's events one more time. The two officers photographed the body, but after Charlie had shown them the bomb, left it alone, choosing instead to call for a bomb disposal unit. Bob finished his beer while he talked, but made no move to get another. Jim stayed at his side, keeping an eye on everyone else in the bar. If the Zodiac suddenly chose to possess Charlie, Mercedes, or one of the cops, he wanted to be aware of it. When he was done listening to Bob, Secord got up.
All right. I'm going to ask you to come down to the station tomorrow, and we'll take the statement properly. It looks pretty clear to me, although I have no idea how we'll explain that the girl was carrying an Uzi. We don't have any bolo on her yet, so we don't know who she is, but I'm sure we will eventually. Whatever happens when her family finds out, well, that's up to the court.
Am I under arrest? Bob said.
No, but just stay in town, okay? I want to be able to find you if I need to.
I promise. I almost never leave this city anyway.
Bob got up from the table. I'm going to close the bar, though. Take a few days of downtime.
Smart move. Here's my card. Give me a call if anything happens. And, like I said, come down tomorrow.
Secord looked at Jim.
Any particular reason you called me, Mr. Corrigan? Instead of Benari, I mean?
You seem like you could handle a case like this. He didn't. He doesn't strike me as a very good policeman.
Secord pursed his lips. Would it surprise you to hear that I share that assessment?
Not really. Someone else is going to sit in Inspector Charles's chair eventually. I don't think Benari will be the one. I'm kind of hoping it'll be you.
Secord nodded to himself, as if taking this as a kind of compliment. Is there anything else you want to tell me about this whole Zodiac business?
It depends on how open-minded you really are. For now, all I'd be concerned about if I were you is looking for Zodiac copycat killings. If you see or hear anything like that, call me, please.
You don't think we can handle it?
Secord kept his eyes fixed on Jim, who in turn stared back.
Benari and I agree on one thing, and that's that. This is still SFPD business, not a private eye case.
Inspector, I worked with Roger Charles for a long time. He knew when to tell me what was up and when to back off. I'm asking you to extend me the same courtesy. I'll tell you more about what it is we do in my agency if you want, but you might believe about as much as Benari did yesterday when I told you about my experiences in the 70s. However, this isn't the time or place to have that discussion. Do you agree?
Fine.
Secord put his jacket on.
But we will have it. Count on it.
In the meantime, the bomb disposal unit had arrived and had confirmed what Charlie had already told the policeman, that the belt was safe. It was removed and the body carried off. When the last of the policemen had left the building, Bob looked at the Tempest team.
I'm going to go to a hotel tonight. If you guys don't mind, I think I want to get out of here now.
I understand, Jim said. But you're not going to be safe in a public place. If the Zodiac just possesses someone else, he or she can walk right up to you and set off another bomb. Why don't you come home with us?
Would I be safer with you?
Bob raised one eyebrow. Well, we can keep an eye on each other. We're all aware of the danger. Jim paused. At least all of us here are. I hope Andrew's okay.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.